This episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best and free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of A Week Late Podcast. I don't know. I guess this is going to be a retro episode. And a little bit different on top of that. It's going to be like a double whammy because the other day I inadvertently watched the original Tron. And well, let me introduce myself first. My name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489. And before I get ahead of myself, first-time listeners, welcome. This is a podcast where I review movies, video games, music even, and it's usually me catching up. There's so much out there. I try to do the stuff that interests me, play the games that I like to play and stuff like that. But I recently had sort of a lull, and now I'm trying to catch up. So everything's quote unquote a week late when I review it. This episode is unique in that I'm getting ready to watch Tron Legacy. If you hear, that has to have gotten picked up. I'm here with a buddy of mine. His name is Voodoo, and he's a Siberian Husky, and he's big and he's loud. So if you hear a lot of background noise and panting, I'm trying to not have him do it in the microphone. I'm house-sitting for a friend, and Voodoo is keeping me company while I'm house-sitting. And unfortunately, the house that I'm house-sitting has no internet. I don't know how I'm going to survive. Mostly by doing more shows in the next few weeks while I tackle some downtime. I'm going to try to catch up on as much as I possibly can. So the other day, when I'm coming back to get reacquainted with Voodoo here, a friend of the show, Paul, whose house I am sitting, was watching Tron Legacy, and I told him that I hadn't seen it, and he knows how sensitive I am about spoilers, so he's nice enough to shut the movie off. But then we got to talking about the original, how long it's been since we had seen it. And we got ourselves all crazy over Tron, so it was unplanned, like most of our shows are. Don't know why we didn't do a show on it that night. I think it was a time thing. I don't know. But ended up watching the first Tron. And so for the first portion, I'm going to talk about that a little bit before I give you, in the second portion, the Tron Legacy review. It's been a while, and right now I have access to, I think it's a 65-inch Mitsubishi DLP HD TV. For all you techies out there, it's pretty nice. He does have a PS3, and I'll get into a little mini review on some video games in the second portion as well. We were talking about how the phrase, the term holding up, like when somebody goes and rewatches a movie, how it holds up. And recently that phrase has been coming around a lot, coming up a lot, because of all the remakes in the theaters. On the last episode, we reviewed Expendables 2, and we were talking about how some of the trailers, like Red Dawn, that's coming out soon, is a remake. What are you doing? Go lay down. And, really? Voodoo, go lay down. You're messing up my show, man. Go lay down. Thank you. Now he thinks I'm playing with him. Anyway, sorry about that. I might just edit that out a little bit. All right, so now that this beast has calmed down, really? You just want to be on the show that bad? The term holding up, like I was saying, never really flew with me until I had a conversation with somebody about Jurassic Park. I saw a scene from Jurassic Park, the original, the other day, and I gotta tell you, the special effects are still really, really good, and it started dawning on me that people say that because they hold up. I was talking about Back to the Future 2 the other day. Special effects are still really good on that. Tron, not so much. You have Disney money behind it. I believe the case is around here somewhere. I should have grabbed the case to get some facts on it. But regardless of when it was made, it was still really early, and they had to create this sort of digital world inside of an arcade machine. For those of you that haven't seen it, go check out the original version of Tron. Just because someone wasn't born in a particular era doesn't mean they can't go back and revisit some of the things that current pop culture has gotten its influences from. I know Tron Legacy is a superior film as far as the CG is concerned. I'm just a little bit worried about how the storyline won't be quite as original as I think it could have been or should be. But before I talk about any expectations for Tron Legacy, even though still to this day what Tron did is considered, as far as special effects are concerned, pretty groundbreaking for back in the day. This movie was way ahead of its time, both in terms of special effects and the technology behind what they're talking about so early in the mid-80s, I believe. This movie came out 84, if I'm not mistaken. But I probably am. So as far as holding up, special effects-wise, you can tell it's dated. A lot of the, I guess, energy is actually hand-drawn animation on cells. And if we have any cartoonists or I don't know what you'd call animators, you'll know what that means. They would actually take the cells themselves from the film and draw on the actual cells of the film. with hand-drawn animation, and then they could do the same thing with rotoscoping, which is a process that they take and trace frame by frame live-action video or film to give it a more fluid motion, as far as you're pretty much tracing over a live video when you're rotoscoping. I don't know if a lot of rotoscoping was used in Tron, but definitely hand-drawn animation on cells, which is apparent towards the end of the movie. Probably a lot more than that, but when you see sort of you'll be able to tell the difference between the practical effects and the animation. So, since I didn't really plan on doing a review on Tron, I figured while I watch the sequel, and the original is still in my head from rewatching it, I wanted to touch on Tron just a little bit. For anyone that hasn't seen it, go back and see it. I don't know if I'm going to give it a score, probably from 0 out of 5 stars. I say storyline is the majority. Special effects are, you know, like I said, still ahead of their time, but dated. Technology's caught up and surpassed what we currently are experiencing in the world of cinema today. I would give that movie a solid 4, maybe, if I'm going to rate it. So go check it out, the original Tron, Jeff Bridges. And to be quite honest with you, not a lot of other people that I would recognize in current film. I could be way off on that. I'm probably going to shoot myself in the foot when I find the box later and talk about it. Matter of fact, I'm just going to find the box and talk about it. I guess not. I have no idea, even though we just watched the movie the other day, I have no idea what happened to it. anyway, there's that. So go check out Tron. If you want to see some old school... I don't know. I don't want to call this a Disney movie, although, you know, it is, and so is the new one, which I'm going to get into here in a second. The returning actor, obviously, Jeff Bridges. I was talking earlier about the special effects for Tron Legacy. Leaps and bounds ahead of its original, obviously. Not a remake, but a sequel. Apparently, this storyline takes place 20 to 25 years after the first one, and we are dealing with, I believe it's his son, who is played by, let me see here, Garrett Hedlund. Not too sure what else he's been in. Olivia Wilde, who is unbelievably smoking hot. She was in Cowboys and Aliens. Amazing. She's gorgeous. She can act, too. She's actually got some skills. She's not just a pretty face. There is a scene that I saw... which was kind of a spoiler. When Tron Legacy first came out, there were some teasers out there that were calling it Tron 2, and there was a scene with a young Jeff Bridges, and I saw a behind the scenes on how they did that, and they scanned his face with all these digital dots and stuff like that. And for anyone that doesn't appreciate Tron Legacy for at least a special effects endeavor, you're crazy. You really don't know what it takes to put on a show like this. It's a little strange because, like I said, I don't like calling it a Disney flick, because also set apart from the fact that there's just a ton of money poured into this production, also Daft Punk does the entire soundtrack for Tron Legacy, and I never thought that I'd see a day when electronica and Disney shook hands, especially to that caliber. Just crazy. My expectations are actually kind of higher I put off watching this movie for the simple fact that I hadn't seen the first one in so long, and I wanted to really compare storylines, because I heard for anyone that said Tron Legacy was a bad movie, that was their gripe. So, I mean, I had middle expectations before watching the first one and seeing some of the behind-the-scenes features. Since I myself consider me to be a decent graphic artist, I have a sort of a level of appreciation, not a sort of, I do have a level of appreciation for some of these productions that people don't really take the time to acknowledge the time and effort and work and passion that go into making these movies. At the end of the day, it's just a plastic disc in a case with no real significance, but it's somebody's work that was put into it. So, kind of excited, middle to high expectations on Tron Legacy. Like I said, the first Tron, even so far back, like I said, doesn't stand up to the test of time, but still a great movie, way ahead of its time in terms of storyline. So I just want to know if the second one is going to match that, or just completely crush it. I don't know. I kind of gave out of our retro rating a 4 out of 5 is kind of high for Tron. I don't know if I should have given it that much looking back to it, because there's not really that much room. I would almost have to give it a 5 unless the storyline really sucks for Tron Legacy, and it's just a clone of its original. What Tron would have looked like had it been rebooted instead of it, you know, a sequel done on it. But supposedly they're throwing the original Jeff Bridges storyline back into it with how he holds up with his son. Hopefully we'll see all of that. The movie runs, 2 hours and 5 minutes. So go catch Tron Legacy. I'm about to watch the high-def Blu-ray version. I'm pretty excited about that, because it's the closest thing I can do without watching it in 3D, which some people told me was a detriment to the movie. But I've talked about 3D before almost exhaustingly, so for like the Avengers and stuff like that, go back and check out some of those episodes, because we do get into a discussion on theaters not projecting 3D movies right and hurting the credibility of the movie because of that, or hurting the credibility of 3D as a whole. But kind of excited about seeing it on what's the closest I can get to a big screen. Although this particular Mitsubishi is 3D ready, I don't have the 3D Blu-ray player nor 3D glasses to play it, so I'm settling for the HD Blu-ray version. So go check it out if you haven't seen it already, and listen to some intro music. I'm sorry this episode's been choppy. I'm trying to do the best I can without internet, and I know that doesn't have really anything to do with recording or how I edit it down, but I try not to leave anything out, so there's that. Catch us on the second part of Week Late Retro Podcast for Tron/Tron Legacy reviews. Catch you in a sec. Okay, welcome to part 2 of the weekly podcast retro episode for Tron. slash Tron Legacy Double Whammy. It's really kind of a unique episode, like I said in the first portion. To be honest with you, it's been probably about a week since I recorded that first couple halves. Recently listened to some of the recorded audio. Voodoo was crazy loud. I'll probably record, or maybe this is the disclaimer. So that being said, the really loud, disruptive parts, I might put in towards the very end, if you stick around sometimes, especially for the longtime listeners, you'll notice I throw in like bloopers or something like that. This is one of those times, so, I apologize about that, and, enjoy the rest of the second portion. So, after watching Tron Legacy, and getting some more insight since watching the Blu-ray, which was amazing, by the way. The Blu-ray has a lot of special features. If I had to give the Blu-ray a rating, it would be probably about a 3 or 4. It could have been a little bit more behind-the-scenes stuff. There was a lot of too much promotional stuff on the Blu-ray, like promoting Disney 3D DVD. I could have done without. There was a ton more special features, like web promos for the promotional, obviously promotional webisodes, if you will. Propaganda that looks like it's part of the universe, but just gaining, you know, popularity for the movie. One thing I really enjoyed that I didn't realize until way later, the actor Bruce Boxleitner, I believe is how you pronounce his name, also came back from the first Tron. He is actually the character that the movie is named after. He plays Alan Bradley. He's one of the male nerd that he teams up with in the first, that Jeff Bridges' character teams up in the first Tron. He has since become Garrett Hedlund's character, Sam Flynn, the son of Jeff Bridges' character, Kevin Flynn, slash Clue. He plays Clue in the Tron world. I'll stop calling it the Tron world and call it the, I guess it's the server world, or, yeah. The grid. Inside the grid, Jeff Bridges is Clue, and Alan Bradley is Tron. It didn't dawn on me until after I started watching the special features on the Blu-ray that it's the same exact character that played the big plastic glasses nerd, the programmer that essentially is Tron in both the original and, spoiler, I don't think this is really a spoiler. It is kind of, but it's in a different twist kind of way. But as far as I mentioned in the first portion, as far as storyline is concerned, it doesn't have to be re-explained because this generation has seen the likes of the Matrix movies and 13th Floor and, you know, realities that exist inside of a machine, Ghost in the Shell for anime fans, stuff like that. So it's kind of what makes me score this Tron Legacy. I really, inside the world of a machine, I really don't understand why the need for helmets in a world where everything is digital, how he can still bleed inside of a machine. These kinds of things are lost to me in the dichotomy of the Tron world, the Tron program. How vehicles traverse inside the grid and off the grid. When Olivia Wilde's character gets introduced to this movie, to the main character, Sam Flynn, she has this sort of it's a cross between a Mars rover and a light cycle, the current Mars rover and a light cycle. I think it has only four wheels, though. I don't really understand how vehicles and terrain come into the digital world that we're supposed to be watching. But I have to give my rating because I'm about to get into spoilers just by talking about that. So, since it's a retro episode, we're on a scale from 0 to 5 stars. And, for the first time listeners, there will be, I don't know if I don't really do spoiler countdowns for the retro episodes. I guess I have before, but I'm not sure. That's one of the reasons why the rating is going to be probably about the same as it was for the regular Tron. The storyline is great. The special effects are great. Minus the dings, the criticisms I have about this movie. If it were just based on special effects alone, my God, I can't even begin to imagine the amount of work that went into every single frame of this movie. There has to be a special effects shot in every single scene. Because of the respect that I have for special effects people, and if I hadn't seen the special features on the Blu-ray, it wouldn't have reminded me on how much people have a passion for projects that they worked on. Had it not been for Jeff Bridges, Tron Legacy probably would not have happened the way it did. As much as I didn't like the plot holes and the technological disagreements with Tron Legacy, you know, thinking about all that stuff, this movie gets a solid, I want to say, 4.25. 4.25 from me. a lot is because of what I'm about to mention in the spoiler portion. So, like I was saying before, for our new listeners, if we have any, there's usually a point where the rating and the explanation of the rating delve into a spoiler area. So at this point, that's when that happens. So stop listening. If you still haven't seen Tron or Tron Legacy, go check it out. From a graphic standpoint, for if you're purely going to see this movie without really trying to understand what's going on with the storyline, I just watch it for the special effects. This movie is like a 6 out of 5, like crazy, crazy special effects. Soundtrack's not that bad either, even though I think Daft Punk was a really good choice, a really good match for the feel of Tron. But to be honest with you, anybody in the electronica genre could have gotten the sense of it and probably done it about the same. They also make a cameo in the movie, which I thought was, I don't know how I really felt about that. But again, spoilers, because that has a lot to do with it too. There's a scene where Olivia Wilde's character, her name is Quora, she shows up, she's smoking hot, by the way. She plays Jeff Bridges' sort of protege in this movie. One of the reasons, I think I gave the regular Tron a 4 out of 5, one of the reasons I gave this movie a little bit over that is the way that they incorporated mortality into the digital characters. I may have answered my own question when thinking about this, because what happens is that you have a world in a digital server that exists with programs. These programs take on personalities, and I don't really completely buy that had it not been for the whole Matrix thing. But that being said, you know, it happened in the first Tron. They took on personalities. I never really got that. Only due to the fact that their programmers may have instilled them with a little bit of personality of their own. These movies, especially the first Tron, spoke about avatars before they even existed. So as far as, like, storyline is concerned, the main thing for Tron, the original Tron, the score that it got was the fact that it was leaps and bounds ahead of its time in terms of technology and what they were even talking about. I don't even think they really understood, but maybe that's the running line with technology, is that it's a simple not a simple language, but if you start to understand it, just like anything else, there's a nerd language, there's a tech language, there's an audiophile language, like surround sound and all that kind of technical stuff. That kind of thing never changes when you're talking about it, minus the advancements, the terminology pretty much stays the same. But that being said, I don't really get or understand why Olivia Wilde's character had to have a special vehicle to take him from being on the grid to off the grid. Where does the information turn into physical barriers between the data and the hardware? It was sort of tackled in the first Tron, and tackled in this one as well, but in a different way, in that they didn't necessarily break through walls to need to get to the other side of something, but rather traverse terrain in a digital world. I don't know. That's one of the things that hurt me. But had it not been for that, we wouldn't have been introduced to Jeff Bridges' character, who stays the same. I was correct in saying that this plot fast forwards probably about 25 to 30 years later after the original. The first scene, which I was kind of blown away by, is a young Jeff Bridges talking to his son, and it's the same digital Jeff Bridges I was referencing that I only thought existed in the grid program. But it was they use that same technology to show what it looked like when Jeff Bridges, or sorry, Kevin Flynn, owner of I believe it was MCOM, the program that made or published or created Tron and Blastroids, I believe it was the name of the, I don't know what it was, something like that, arcade games, which made the company popular. Movie opens up with Sam Flynn, Kevin Flynn's son, still being the largest shareholder of MCOM. Is that the right name? Am I saying that correctly? I can't believe it's not in the synopsis on IMDb. Didn't do that bad as far as, wow, this movie was made for $170 million. Made $44 million opening weekend and $400 million gross, so they more than made their money back on this one. Rightly so. I mean, not bad. Although, the information I'm looking for isn't here, for God's sakes. Anyway, what happens is that there's this whole rebellion thing, and Flynn lives, and what happened to you know, they look into his disappearance. They have this whole campaign of Flynn lives, and I was right, it's MCOM. The same guy that plays Tron becomes Sam Flynn's sort of godfather, I guess you would say. In his father's absence, he sort of raised him. But he also held a position at MCOM with the rival at the time that ended up taking over. There's a brief cameo at the very beginning by... God, I can't remember his name. I don't believe he's on here either. Again, I do zero. Even though this is right in front of me, I'm doing a terrible job in research. But I don't want to take up too much time because it's been quite a while. Actually, I've posted two episodes between the recording of the first part of the Tron Double Whammy and this part. And I'm about to post it here in a few. But the main points I wanted to get out of the way were how these people were, these programs were given a sort of spiritualism. They knew that users existed. They knew that Jeff Bridges' character had been exiled off the grid inside the server program. And a huge spoiler in the movie is that Olivia Wilde's character is actually a third sort of entity that was created inside of the program that happened on its own. Giving a really unique dichotomy of science versus creationism, in that even inside of a server, anomalies can happen that create new life forms that even the creator wasn't expecting. And I thought that that aspect of it all was mind-blowing enough to throw everything else out the window, and way opened it up for a third sequel, maybe even a fourth. Not disappointing at all. I thought the action scenes were great. The discs kind of threw me off too. It's like in such a digitally advanced society that they're literally living in, why can't they view each other's data wirelessly from program to program? Why do they need to physically obtain discs and the games that they made each other play? Sort of, I don't know why programs got distracted by going to tournaments to watch other programs kill each other. To me, that's just, I don't know. It didn't make sense in the first one. It doesn't make sense. It kind of does with the plot line and the way programs get lost and the master program wanting to control everything. I get that, but some of the physicalities, some of the things that represent what shouldn't exist in the digital world still exist, and that completely takes me out of it for some reason. Also, the thing that took me out of it really early on was a line that Sam Flynn character says when he hacks into the ENCOM building, just like his dad did 30 years before. Same vault, same back door. You figured after their first security breach they would have replaced that shit. But what took me way out of the movie super early on, this was like in the first maybe 10, 15 minutes of the movie, the way that he's hacking into the door vault is like, I almost said Edward Norton, but it's Edward, what's his name? Edward Furlong. The way he hacked into the ATM in Terminator, it kind of was the same feeling to me when Sam Flynn was hacking into the same door that his father did years earlier. But then what threw me out of it was the same line that he said, something like, oh, that's a big door, or something like that. And it's like, how would you have any idea that your dad said that and make a reference to it in a movie that you're not supposed to know is going on because this is your real life? I don't know. They try to make it a nod, but it completely took me out because there's no way that the character inside that world would know that his father did that unless, I don't know. There's really no way because it was pre-YouTube. There's no way he saw footage of his dad doing that before because his dad wasn't being filmed. It took me out of the whole thing. But despite all that, I still gave it a pretty high score. The special effects, the storyline, the way they wrapped it all up, and the way they gave new characters, Olivia Wilde's character is a completely new thing. There was a term that was used for her character's type. I believe it's called an ISO. That they just sort of popped up out of nowhere and existed as a third party, as a neutral party on the grid and off the grid. Good on this movie. I really liked it. Minus those few things. Go check it out. Again, I apologize about the pet noises. Maybe I won't do a disclaimer because I did it already. You'll hear, if you can just get through that, the second portion you've heard had zero pet noises and panting and editings and all that good stuff. So go watch Tron Legacy. I highly recommend it. There's a 7-star rating on IMDb. I've never done that before. Since it wasn't a Netflix review, I can't really tell you what it is, but on Netflix, I think they pulled it from Netflix, to be honest with you. Tron Legacy no longer exists on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken. If you are a fan of consistency, go watch the first Tron and then pop in Legacy and see how everything just matches up. Go do yourself a favor and find the behind-the-scenes stuff. If you don't have the Blu-ray or DVD, yeah, it's not on Netflix anymore. They took it off. I'm not sure why. There's a bunch of contractual stuff going on.
it's really interesting to see the people that were involved to do the promotional stuff, the behind the scenes to get people more involved, the web stuff. They have like this sort of Sam Flynn perspective from when he does this crazy like helicopter stunt when they're supposed to be announcing the new release of Tron, the video game, or something like that inside the movie. I think it's Blastroids or something. I think that's the name of the stupid arcade game. So go check that out. I'm glad I got to finish this. It's super sloppy. It's all over the place, and I know that, but this is what you get. That's me not shutting off my or turning on my airplane mode because I've been super busy. I'm trying to catch up from not having any internet, and so there's that. Also, real quick, I've been catching up on Falling Skies Season 2. Fantastic. I've also been I went back and started getting all the episodes of Second Watch, which is the podcast after. It's sort of like Talking Dead with Chris Hardwick for the Walking Dead fans, which is funny because Chris Hardwick and Will Wheaton used to be roommates. True story for anybody that doesn't know that or who cares. Will Wheaton does the who played Wesley Crusher in the Star Trek series does the podcast, the after show for Falling Skies. Great show. I'm loving the second season. It keeps getting better. Also, second season of Louie I've caught up on. If you have not seen Louie, do whatever you have to do to go. It's the best TV, the best. If Louie was a movie, I mean, some of the best writing I've ever seen, some of the best production. I've never laughed so hard and wanted to cry so hard in the same minute. That's what Louis does to you, so go check that out. I'm sure there's a lot more stuff. Go check out the Bill Burr review episode. We just did one of those. Expendables 2 we just put up. Those are the two shows I've recorded between the time that I recorded the first portion for Tron and this portion for Tron and Tron Legacy. Hit me up on a personal note on Twitter at analysis for and the numbers 489. Hit up the podcast at A Week Late, facebook.com/A Week Late Podcast. Hit up the music blog at fenentertainment.com and at fenpromos on Twitter. Email the podcast fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. My name is Darren. Again, a.k.a. Analysis 489, and this has been another episode of A Week Late Podcast Retro for Tron Legacy. Thanks for listening. Also, iTunes, search, comment, subscribe on that. Need a lot of interaction to make some noise on iTunes, so hopefully you guys can help us up with that. All right, thanks for listening. Cheers, all that good stuff. Also, I guess I really haven't heard much about it. Michael Clark Duncan apparently has passed away. Since I've been without internet, it's no surprise that I've missed out on that. So sincerely, if you don't know who Michael Clark Duncan is, go check out his movies. Sit around, ponder, laugh, cry, because he has a huge range, and he will be missed in the movie arena. To his friends and family, our condolences from Week Late Podcast. And I don't want to end it on a bad note, but thanks for listening. Cheers. This episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free.
plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and for more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.